It's one of those mornings when I come in with a big, long shear. And so Rabbi Adler, for the first time in 20 years, takes 10 extra minutes. And then Avi Berman, I don't know what he was doing in here this morning. But all right, listen, we'll learn as much as we can. And if we have to go into extra innings, we'll do that too. I want to dedicate this year to the memory of my father, Olam HaShalom, my mother, Olam HaShalom, and my Shver, Olam HaShalom. I have your site for my mother on Friday, Yud Dalet Iyar, which is Pesach Sheni. 2 days later, Sunday, I have your site for my father, but there was a span of 24 years between one and the other. My mother died young. And then a week later, Bela's father's. We have a lot of yard sites in the month of Iyar. But there are good things in the month of Iyar too. There are good things in the month of Iyar too. I think the Israel Center is having a dinner in the month of Iyar, Chof Ches Iyar. And a few days before that is my birthday. And anybody who was here Yom HaTzmaut in the morning would know exactly what birthday it's going to be, but we're not going to talk about that. Not going to talk about that now. All right. But here it is, a major shear on one of the most... If one can say that there is a mitzvah that is more significant than them all, or a mitzvah that has set the Jewish people apart from all other people on the face of this earth, is a mitzvah that appears in Parshat Emor, and it is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name. On the second side of this sheet, we can begin with the Pasuk in Torah, Ushmartem mitzvotai va'asitam otam, you shall guard my commandments and do them, Ani Hashem. And here comes the great pasuk, V'lo techalul Hashem kodshi, you shall not desecrate my holy name, V'nigdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael, and I shall be sanctified amongst the children of Israel, Ani Hashem mikadishchem, I am the Hashem who sanctifies you, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, we will see, is far, far broader than we usually think of it. We usually think, never 6 million kedoshim, anybody who's killed because he is a Jew, is already a Mekadesh Hashem and a Kadosh Elyon. We think, of course, of those who died at the stake during the Inquisition, and who knows how many millions of other Jews throughout all of history. But Kiddush Hashem, That's, of course, the very peak great sacrifice that is Kiddush Hashem. But Kiddush Hashem appears in so many different ways and guises. Each one of us, most probably daily, finds himself standing before the opportunity of being Kaddish Hashem, or God forbid, the opposite of Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. So I want to take us through a little bit of what are the various meanings and understandings of the word Kiddush Hashem. In Tanakh, who was Mekadesh Hashem? You know, I'll start by limiting it. Let's talk about Sefer Bereshis. I'm thinking in particular of three Mekadshei Hashem, there may be more. Three people that did something that was clearly a Kiddush Hashem. But maybe one while I let you think about it. So here, a friend of mine who I haven't heard from for I don't know how many years sends me an email. You know, Kenneth Meshigabek, and everybody decides exactly what they want you to read, and they email you, you understand? You become a... You become a slave to the email. I'm going to take a brief. Julie, you lost your brother. Do you sit shiva here?
In the States.
You're in the States.
I was out on Monday, last Monday.
So I want to extend on behalf of the class, Julie Spetner lost her brother a week and a half ago?
Two weeks ago.
Must have suffered.
He suffered a lot.
I used to see him every Friday morning. He would sit on a bench on Scholzen with his caretaker, and I'd go over and say good Shabbos to him. Okay. So back to the email. I especially, you know, people that send me emails that seem to be jokes about rabbis. I remember in West Hempstead I had a lawyer. Every Shabbos he'd walk home with me and he'd tell me another rabbi joke. So I became an expert on lawyer jokes. And boy, they're much better. Or worse, whichever way you look at it. Several years ago, so says Zelish Shoyin her email, several years ago a rabbi from out of state accepted a call to a community in Houston, Texas. Some weeks after he arrived, he had an occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. It's already a Shalom Harper. Congregation, Houston doesn't give their rabbi a car. Shalom. So anyway, the rabbi is taking a bus downtown. When he sat down, he discovered that the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much change. As he considered what to do, he thought to himself, you'd better give the quarter back. It would be wrong to keep it. Then he thought, oh, forget it. It's only a quarter. Who would worry about this little amount? Anyway, the bus company gets too much fare. They'll never miss it. Accept it as a gift from God. God gave you a quarter and keep quiet. When his stop came, he paused momentarily at the door and then he handed the quarter to the driver and said, here, you gave me too much change. The driver with a smile replied, aren't you the new rabbi in town? Yes, he replied. Well, I've been thinking a lot lately about going somewhere to worship. I just wanted to see what you would do if I gave you too much change. I'll see you in shul on Shabbos. When the rabbi stepped off the bus, he literally grabbed the nearest light pole, held on and said, O Ribbono Shel Olam, I almost sold a yid for a quarter. That's the story. Our lives are the only thing some people will ever read. This is a really scary example of how much people watch us as Jews and will put us to the test. Always be on guard. And remember, you carry the name of Hashem on your shoulders when you call yourself a Jew. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. I'm glad a friend forwarded this to me as a reminder, so I choose to forward it to you, my friend. May Hashem bless you. I hope you're all having a wonderful day, etc., etc., etc. All right? Classic example of Kiddush Hashem. Mm-hmm. And here I'm in the middle of preparing the shiur, and this comes by email. I'm not even certain that it was my friend who sent it to me. Maybe it was God, an email from God. Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. I mean, I was driving some while ago, almost been 2-3 years ago or more, I was driving along Metudela, and I'm not telling you this story just to tell you what a great guy I am. You must have probably heard already from Avi Berman, so I don't have to say anything. I don't know what he said. I'm driving along Metadel and I came a little too close to another car and I knocked off his mirror. I stopped the car, took out a piece of paper, and I wrote down on it that you should know, I'm guilty, I'm ready to pay, And I left my name, address, and phone number. Within an hour and a half, the fellow was at my house, a Chiloni from Chiloni land. You know, I don't know, rings in the ears and the nose, in the brain. But he was overwhelmed. He was overwhelmed. That Kiddush Hashem cost me about 250 shekel. And it was worth every penny. Every penny. So we have a lot of opportunities. It means the way we conduct ourselves. So therefore, Kiddush Hashem is not only being ready to give one's life. Kiddush Hashem can be a quarter. And I'm sure that many of us have done it. You know, you don't get the right amount of change, so it's not too much trouble. You bring it to the attention, and it happens quite often. They didn't make the right cheshbon in the store, and you bring it to their attention. All right. So here it is, the great mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. V'nigdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem l'kaddishchem. And you shall not desecrate my name. Rashi says, Pasuk 32, V'lo t'chalu. Rashi is going to bring us into another form of Kiddush Hashem. Do not desecrate, you shall not defile. La'avor al t'varai, by violating my words, mizidin, intentionally. And we're going to see in the Rambam. A person who does an aveira in public and leaves the impression like he just couldn't care less. Not because he has to do the aveira, not because he's overcome by a great desire to do the aveira, just plain does an aveira, because he just doesn't care. That's chilosha. That's chilosha. Mimash mishanema. From the implication of that which it says, lo techalulu, you shall not defile, I can infer that the opposite state, God's sanctification will exist if there is no defilement. In other words, if it says, lo techalulu, you shall not defile or desecrate, that means if you don't do anything bad, it's automatic that God is being sanctified. Why does the Torah also have to say, v'nigdashti, and I shall be sanctified? So here it says, Misar Atzmecha, surrender yourself, v'kadesh me, and sanctify my name. Yochol b'yochol, I would think that the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem can be fulfilled only in the presence of, one might be able to think on the basis of this verse, that there is an obligation to submit to death rather than to violate a commandment of the Torah even in the presence of a single individual. So the Pasuk says, V'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, the only time you have to give your life, depending on what the circumstances are, we won't talk about it yet, only if it's in the presence of a minion of Jews, b'toch b'nei Yisrael, which implies many witnesses to the sin. U'kishehu moser atzmo, Rashi says, when a person is ready to give his life, then you should do it with all your heart. In other words, not hedge your bets like, you know, God is going to save me. Person should give himself over on condition, yes, understanding that he might die. Should call Hamosar Atzmal Manasa Nes, because anybody who is ready to give his life and he's got his fingers crossed and, you're going to come help me. No miracle is performed for him. Shekenot Sinu, Rashi brings a medrash by Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah. When Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha, erected a statue in the valley of Dura, and he called upon all people to bow down to the statue, everybody did, including the Jewish community. There were three rebels. Who refused to bow down to the statue. And they were Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah. Shalom Masru Atzman Almanas Hanes. They were not ready to give their lives only on the condition that God is going to make a miracle. Yeah, miracle, no miracle. Over our dead bodies, we are not bowing down. fact is that the Medrash says that they went to Yecheskel, who was then the Navi in Bavel, and they asked him, Hashem Yamod Lan, was God going to stand by us? So Yecheskel told them, no. No. So they said, Afal PK, even if God is not going to be with us, we're going to give our lives. We're not going to bow down. As it says over there, V'holo yediyah lehevel malka, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, you should know, King, yenes, no nes, yedai, no die, we are not going to bow down. After Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah walked out from Yecheskel's house, God appears to Yecheskel and says, Yecheskel, you think I'm not going to stand by them? You think I'm going to let them die when they're doing an act of such great Kiddush Hashem? Because, of course, the fact that they will not die is going to be a more awesome Kiddush Hashem than anything else. As I say it now, you know what occurs to me? Chazal in Midrashim and other places, we see that God fulfills mitzvahs just like we do. What's good for us is good for Him. I'm just thinking, you know, God also has a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And you know how God fulfilled His mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? By saving Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Can you imagine? A whole world is standing there. Representatives of all the nations of the world. They're all bowing down in front of His statue. I don't know. There are a million people over there. And three guys standing up tall, erect. No, they're not going to bow down. And then they're thrown into the furnace. Never into the crematoria. Nebuchadnezzar is looking, and he says he sees four figures there. Not three, four. And they emerge from the Kivshon HaEsh, they emerge from the furnace, unsinged, unharmed. It was, of course, the Malach Gavriel who was walking with them through the Kivshon HaEsh. All right? So this is the beginning of the idea of Kiddush Hashem. So who was Mekadosh Hashem? For more than a quarter, no, 25 cents. When Avraham Avinu comes back from the battle against the four kings and he crushes them, Melech Sodom, Melchizedek, king of Shalem, and the king of Sodom come out to greet Avraham. The king of Sodom is sure that this Jew is going to keep every penny of all the loot and the booty, everything that belonged to stone. And all he asks is, give me the lives. Give me the people back. I should get my people back. So what does Avraham Avinu tell him? I had already promised myself, I'm not going to take a shoestring from you. Not a penny. Do you understand the Kiddush Hashem of an Avraham before the whole world returning all of the spoils of war? Everything. Except what my associates who assisted me in battle, they have to receive their reward. By the way, you would have paid them to go out and do the job that they did. That was an awesome Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara in the Sefer Sota says that talks about two other Mekadshei Hashem, sanctifiers of God's name. Yosef and Yehuda. Yehuda was in public, Yosef was in private. The Kiddush Hashem, Tamar is being taken out to be burned at the stake, and she says, the one to whom this signet ring and this staff belongs, he is the one to whom I am pregnant. Do you understand how difficult it is for Yehuda, the great symbol of morality, to have to say, Sotka, she is right, many. But instantly, not even a doubt in Yehuda's mind, Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Yosef refuses to be seduced by his master's wife. And he says, Elokim ani yorei, I fear God. So the Gemara says, Yosef, who sanctified God's name in private, they added one letter of God's name to his name. There's a perek in Tehillim that we say on Yom Chamishi, Edus b'Yehosef. A hey was added to the name of Yosef because he sanctified God's name. Yehuda shekidei shem shamayim v'rabim Yehuda, who sanctified God's name in public, his whole name has all the four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the four letters that make up the name of God, make up the name of Yehuda. I imagine maybe we can say here too that in a sense the Rabbeinu Shalom was both with both of them, and the Rabbeinu Shalom becomes a partner in fulfilling the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. He also has to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Now, v'nigdashti b'tov b'nei Yisrael, here the halacha, but by the way, there may be other instances. I'm trying to think. So in other words, we have Avram, we have Yehuda, we have Yosef, we have Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Yes, there is another one. There is another one, Yehoshua. In one of the early chapters in Yehoshua, it says that the people of Givon pulled the wool over the eyes of the Jewish people. They came bedraggled, and they say, we come from a distant land, and we want to make peace with the people of God. And there's a whole discussion over there, and finally, the leaders of the Jewish people enter into a mutual pact with them. And a few days later, they find out that these are Canaanim who live in Givon, the Givonim, not far from Telstar. There was great anger. And the fact is that most probably they would have had all the right in the world to simply renege on this agreement, because it was an agreement, a pact that was entered into through trickery. Yehoshua said, no, we made a promise, we made an oath, we're going to stick to the agreement to the letter. He did it because of Kiddush Hashem. Because to have broken it, maybe outside they would not understand it, would turn into be a desecration of God's name. So Yehoshua also joins the list of those who are Mekadshei Hashem. Mm-hmm. But there must be others, there must be.
What about
Hur? Who?
Hur.
A kid?
Hur.
Hur. Hur is maybe even a better example, because he gave his life. Hur was killed. You know what? Once you've mentioned Hur, Hur is the son of Miriam, who stood up against those who made the golden calf, and they killed him. Pinchas, what are you talking about? Great Mekadesh Hashem. The fact is, the Gemara says, the halacha is that if Zimri would have killed Pinchas, Zimri would not be liable for any kind of punishment. Guy's coming to kill me, I have a right to kill him. Pinchas took his life into his hands. He was a Mekadesh, Shem Shamayim Berabin. How do you like that? You see, I thought I was finished with the list. Who knows how many more? Very good.
Samet
Nafsho B'chapo, yes. All right. Now there's the halacha, of course, is we learn from this pasuk of Benigdashti B'tov B'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. We learn from this pasuk a halacha that we are involved in every day. You need a minion. You need a minion for Shmona Esrei, for Kaddish, for Kedusha, for Kriyas HaTorah, for Kriyas HaMegillah. There are so many mitzvahs that require a minyan. Where do we learn the halacha of minyan? From Vidigdashti B'tov B'nei Yisrael. I shall be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. How do we know it means a minyan? So there are two approaches. Talmud Bavli has one approach, and Talmud Yerushalmi has another approach. Talmud Bavli approach is very fascinating. It says the word toch. Here, Vinigdashti B'tov B'nei Yisrael. Now, one of the ways in which we learn halachot from Torah is through Gzeda Shava. A Gzeda Shava means we have a word in one place, we have a similar word in another place, so we say that what applies in place two applies in place one. So it says, Vinigdashti, I shall be sanctified B'tov B'nei Yisrael. And then, by the Adat Korach, the community of Korach, God says, He bodlu mitoch ha'edah ha'razos, separate yourself from the midst of this edah, mitoch. So now we have mitoch by Kiddush Hashem, we have mitoch over here by Adat Korach, but that still doesn't tell us that it means a minion. But by Korach it says the word edah, Adat Korach, and by the Meraglim they are called Adat HaMeraglim. So, do you see where we've gone? We've gone from Migdash to B'tov B'nei Yisrael, he brought the Mitocha Edah Arolah to Korach, and then we go to the Meraglim, and the Meraglim were 10. 12 were sent, remove Yehoshua and Kaleb, so you have 10 Meraglim. I would imagine, most probably this sounds a little bit strange to you. We have to learn that you need a minion for Kaddish, Kedusha, and Kiddush Shemayim from the Meraglim and Adas Korach. God Almighty, something's wrong over here. Something is seriously wrong. It may be for that reason. The winter isn't over yet, excuse me. It's coming right in my throat, and I have to wash my throat. All right? So the Talmud Yerushalmi gives another way to learn that the Nigdashli B'tov B'nei Yisrael means a minyan, because it says when the brothers of Yosef came to Mitzrayim to purchase grain, Vayavohu, they came B'toch Haboyim, amongst those who came to Egypt to buy food. How many came?
Ten.
All right? Now already we're learning 10. From whom are we learning 10? We're learning 10 from, at least from the Shvatim, Shiftei Kah. Read an article some years ago, written by a good friend of mine, Rabbi Benjamin Blech. Oh, must be 25, 30 years ago. We were rabbis in neighboring communities. He was rabbi of Oceanside, and I was rabbi of West Hempstead. That's on Long Island, Nassau County, for the Englishmen who don't know anything about New York, you understand, and others. So he wrote a very beautiful thought. He came up with a very nice term, thematic linkage. I'll explain. Don't control this up. I'll explain. It's strange. We're here, we're there, we're there. Ah, we have a whole halacha word. It becomes even stranger. And if this is not understood, it can cause a lot of trouble. How do you know that a man can acquire a woman with kesef, with money? He gives her a ring and he says, Hareyat mekudeshet li, be thou sanctified unto me with this ring according to the law of Moses in Israel. So as the first mission in the Sefer Kedushin says, Ho'isha nignes, a woman is acquired through shlosha drachim, three ways. One of them is through kesef. You give her something that is valuable, at least a pruta, and she accepts it, and it's in the presence of witnesses. You have a men and women, you have a new couple in Israel. How do we know that you can acquire a woman? You can acquire a woman through through kesef. So it says in the Torah, it says ki yikach ish isha, when a man will take a woman. The word kicha, taking, appears elsewhere. When Avram comes to purchase the Ma'arat HaMachpelah in order to bury Sarah there, he bought it with money. So the word kicha is used by the purchase of a field, and by kach, kiyikach ishisha kicha, taking, acquiring, is used with regard to a woman, just like you purchase a field with money, so you purchase a woman. So of course, anybody who doesn't understand what's going on over here, and especially if they belong to militant, hostile women's rights groups, will of course be hurt to the very core of their neshama. Well, a field. You buy a field, you buy a behemoth, you buy a wife. All the same. What a terrible mistake. Avraham Avinu comes to buy the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and he is ready to pay any sum of money. You know why? Because of his profound love for his departed wife, Sarah. He wants to make sure that she is going to be buried in this most holy place of all. He will do anything for the memory of Sarah. He is going to be the first one that's going to bring a Jewess to Kever Yisrael. Oh no, nowhere else. He refuses any attempts on the part of the children of Chet to sway him from his intention. He's gonna buy the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. That was all profound love of Avraham. Unmatched. That's what the Gzeirah Shavah is. A man who takes a woman, he has to understand that the relationship that they enter into has to be the relationship of Avraham and Asar. That's what the Gzeirah Shavah means. Not that the woman is just another piece of real estate. And, you know, if they don't understand that this is the meaning in this Gzeirah Shavah, you can make terrible, terrible mistakes. What are we going to do with the Gzeirah Shavah of a minyan? We have to learn a minyan, you understand? A minyan we learn either from the community of Korach, so the Eibush of Apeh, or worse, the Meraglim. So we're talking about, there's a theme that links the two. Just like there's a theme that links Avraham's purchase of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah and a man acquiring a woman, there's a theme, a thematic linkage. You know what the theme over here is? 10 Meraglim can bring down disaster on the entire Jewish people. Can you imagine the sanctity and the greatness of 10 Jews who are going to say Kaddish and Kedusha, Yitkadal v'Yitkadash v'Mechava? The power of good is infinitely greater than the power of evil. That's what we're learning from the Meraglim. The awesome power of 10 people. A whole generation is brought down by these 10 Meraglim. I take 10 good Jews who are going to say Kaddish and Kedusha and Shemona Esrei and read the Torah. What an awesome force that's going to be. Yes?
You also taught us that because Abraham was arguing with Hashem about the 10 people in Sodom,
I said that?
Yeah.
I don't even remember what I say anymore. How do you like that? It's great to have students that remember. Except that the Gemara doesn't use that as an example. But she says, Avraham prayed for, if there are 10 righteous people in Sodom, then God should save the whole place. Very good, thanks for bringing that to my attention, you know. Very good. All right. The classic formulation of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is the Rambam. The Rambam's chapter 5 in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. And I have the whole chapter here. I know you're looking at me, we're going to learn this whole chapter. No, if not today, there will be other times. You know what I'm going to do? I want to take you to the to my email. On this same second side, there are 11 halachas in the Rambam in this chapter on Kiddush Hashem. I'm going to learn the 11th. V'yesh dvorim achedim shehein b'chlal chilul Hashem. There are other things that are considered a desecration of God's name. Up until here, he's been talking about the times when a person must give his life. A classic example is if one is being coerced to commit one of the cardinal sins, idolatry, or illicit relationships with a woman, or murder. A Grace says, kill that Jew, otherwise I kill you. You have to give your life. As the Gemara formulates it, who says that your blood is redder than the other one's? You don't have a right to kill that person and thereby save your life. All right, those are the three cardinal sins. Classic Kiddush Hashem. But here there's another. Yesh dvorim achedim, the Rambam says, there are other things that are b'chlal chilul Hashem, who sheyasa osam odom godol v'torah u'mefursim b'chasidus. If a great man in Torah, and one who's known to be pious, dvorim shehabriyot meraninim achrab b'shvilam, people, things, he does something that people will talk about him. Not nice, you know? Big Talmud, Chacham, Roshiva, Rebbe, you know, doing something like that. V'afal pi she'ein ha'averus, even if it's something that's not an avera. He didn't do an avera. But it's pasnished. It just doesn't sit well with people. Hareza chilulat Hashem. The rabbi walking off the bus with the quarter. Maybe that's a little Aveda too, walking off the bus with a quarter. Especially when it turns out that the bus driver was Jewish, understand? There's a big machlekes by Gezel Akum is Osi. You're not allowed to steal from a guy. There's a big machlekes about Tohu's guy. If a guy makes a mistake, and the mistake turns out to be in my favor, do I have a responsibility to go ahead and bring to his attention that he made a mistake? Big machlokes about it. But of course there are many who say, on the contrary, that's when you should go ahead and bring that mistake to his attention, because that's going to be Kiddush Hashem. Yes? But this mistake that we're talking about is even not a Talmud Chacham. Even a plain Jew. Goy makes a mistake, you bring, and it's in your favor, you have to bring it to his attention. So he says, Kagom, Shalokach vein inesin demei hamekach lialta. A big Talmud Chacham, a tzadik ayid, buys and does not pay immediately. In other words, the idea of on credit. But of course you have to understand this was not necessarily the way it was always done in the old days. Today, my guy in the makolet doesn't want to have to handle money every day. He waits till he makes a greiser cheshbon at the end of the month, and then I pay. By the way, I think I'm one of the first people who pays. As soon as he gives me the bill, you understand? I try my very best to pay immediately. He doesn't have to run after me. But the Gemara says, one of the Amorim said, Kagon Anah, if I buy and I don't pay immediately, that's Chilul Hashem. V'hu sheyesh lo. The halacha is there. If you have money, if he buys something and he doesn't have the money and says, I'm sorry, I don't have the money, I'll pay you tomorrow or the day after, that's okay. But if you have the money, pay. V'nimtzu ha'moichlin tovim v'hum akifam, which means it turns out he has the money, and the people who sold it to him are asking for the money, and he says, no, put it on credit. No. Oshe yarve b'schok. Or, Goyse Tom Klocham, you know, is conducts himself with a great deal of levity. Loud, making jokes, laughing all over the place. O bachilu ushtia etzel amehar etzu beinehem. Or he eats ravenously in the presence of simple people. O should be puro malogias enevenachos. Or he doesn't speak softly or properly together with when he's with people. Veinu makablum to save upon him yafis. Or he doesn't receive people with a smile. You know, his conduct is just not up to snuff. It's not what it should be. It's none of aveira, none of aveira, but chil Hashem. Elo bal ketoto, worse if he becomes a person who gets into arguments with people, for chaos and anger, for kayotza bedroch meila. He's not a bal midas, you understand? There is such a thing as people who are not balei midas tovos. It all depends on the greatness of the man. He has to be careful with himself. He has to conduct himself beyond what the din requires. Because people are watching him. People are looking at him. And though sometimes you'd want to say, you know, I don't care, Eddie. I'm sick and tired of everybody, you know. We live in a fishbowl. Rabbis live in a fishbowl. I don't care. You don't like it? Too bad. Okay. You don't have the luxury to do that. No. Just have to. You have to act nice. And the same thing is true if the chacham is very careful with his conduct. Voyadiburo benachas, and he speaks softly and abrius with people. And his mind, in other words, he is socially, he gets on well with people socially. And he receives them. He receives them with a mit alichtigen punim. This is the difficult part. They embarrass him, and he doesn't respond. That's the difficult part. You should all, very good, Malka. Malka says, a person should always be min hane'elavim, those who are ashamed and embarrassed, ve'inom olvim, and don't embarrass others. And about them it says, the end of Shiras Dvora, it says at the end of Shir, Kain yovdu kol oyavecha Hashem, so shall all of your enemies, God, be lost and destroyed. For Ohavav, and those who love him, Kitzeit Hashemish Rigvurato, like the sun coming out in all of its strength. What's it have to do with the sun? What's the Mara talking about? Mara says, if you are embarrassed and you remain silent, and you just take it, then you're like the sun comes out in great strength. I once saw, I think it's in Meiri, one of the Rishonim, who says, Medrash tells us that when God created Shnei Hama'orot HaGedolim, the two big bodies of light, the sun and the moon were the same. And the moon had a complaint. Ein Shnei Malachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. You can't have two equal powers. Of course, what the moon wanted was the sun should be cut down to size, you understand? Cut down to size. And the sun didn't respond. So what happened was, what God did was, he took the moon and he reduced the moon. Then I want to continue the Medrash. This is homemade. I think that because of the fact that the moon accepted its punishment without having complained then. So I think for that reason, we make a blessing over the moon once a month and over the sun once every 28 years. I just made that up. I don't know, you know. It may not be wrong. It may not be wrong. Because we in fact pray by Kiddush Levana that God should return the greatness to the moon. And then again, also the moon became the model for the Jewish people. That we go through periods of darkness, but always rebirth. Always rebirth. Regaining its strength. And that's why HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem is the first mitzvah that was given. This month shall be the first of months to you. We are represented by the moon. That's why our year is a lunar year, not a solar year. Mechabed lahem va'afilu l'makilin lo. He gives honor to people, even those who hold him, take him lightly, don't respect him that much. This is very difficult. Very difficult to do. V'nosei v'notein b'emun, I think that's one of the that's one of the important things. He does business with honesty. You can trust him in business. That's most probably the big litmus test of a person who is mekadesh Shem Shemayim. V'lo yarba ba'adichut amei oretz v'yishivatam. He should not spend a lot of time, I think it means with eating with them or walking with them and talking with them, with ignorant people, amei ha'aretz. V'lo yeiro'e tamid ela osek b'torah. They should see him always only being involved in Torah. Otuf patzitzis, wearing tzitzis, muchta b'tfilin, with the crown of tfilin, v'osa b'chol ma'asol u'fdim shuras adin, and whatever he does beyond the requirement of the halacha. V'u shalok, but the Gaon is so balanced, it's unbelievable, it's so balanced. Here he's describing the Talmud Chacham, sort of, it would seem as though the Talmud Chacham has to separate himself from the community. Talos, tfilin, always osa b'torah. He says, no. You're not supposed to remove yourself too much from the community. I mean, we're talking about a delicate balance by which I'm part of the community. Remember, he said earlier, you should be mu'urav im habriyot, but then again, distance. I'm doing good today, or you're inspiring me today. Do you know what the Rambam is describing? You know who the Rambam is describing? He's describing God. God is both immanent and transcendent. God is close, but distant. God is Ovinu, and he is Malkeinu. God has this delicate balance of being Mu'urav Nabriot, he knows what's going on, but he remains... He remains separate and distinct. So too the Talmud Chacham. Well, I like this. I like this. V'u shelo yitrachei karbe. Don't be too distant from the community. V'lo yishtomein. The person who becomes too distant from people becomes, in a certain sense, shomein, desolate. We need people. We need society. We are not capable of living the life of a hermit. Also, he has to conduct himself in such a way so that everybody praises him and love him and desire to act the way he does. By his conduct alone, he has sanctified the name of God. About him, the Pasuk says, Avdi Ato Yisrael. You, Israel, God says about Israel, you are my servant, Asher Becha et Po'er. I take great pride in you. The way in which you conduct yourself, this is an indication of what kind of God the Jewish people have. I'm just going to learn the first line. Let's go. We'll save the last. I'll find a pasuk someplace in Chumash where I can learn the rest of the Rambam with you. And even if I won't find another excuse, I'll just learn it in Yud Hashem. Kol Beit Yisrael mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem hagadol hazeh. Shenema v'nigdashti v'toch b'nei Yisrael. All of the house of Israel are commanded to sanctify God's name, God's great name, as it says. And here it is, the beginning of the halacha, the Rambam is quoting the pasuk that we're learning. And I shall be sanctified amongst the children of Israel. Umuzhorim shalol lechalalo, they are warned not to desecrate it. Shenema, as it says, v'lo techalalu et shem kodshi, you shall not desecrate my holy name. And then he goes on to describe it. And the first few halachas are the description of somebody who wants to coerce a Jew to do an Aveira, under which circumstances does he have to sanctify God's name and give his life. But there's a great deal of discussion on the question of why does the Rambam open up this glorious perek? It's a chapter in the Rambam that's magnificent. Kol Beit Yisrael. Well, the whole house of Israel are commanded to sanctify God's name. So many answers, and I don't know, none of them really satisfy me much. For example, the Rambam doesn't start off by saying, Kol Beit Yisrael, Mitzuvin, all of the house of Israel are commanded to keep kosher. The whole house of Israel are commanded to keep Shabbos. This is about the only place. All of the house of Israel are commanded to sanctify God's name. The pshat that I said some years ago is the following. The Rambam is going to be talking about a goy who wants to coerce a Jew to do an Aveira. So what the Rambam wants to say is, if any place in the world there's a goy who's coercing a Jew to be over an Aveira, that's not the problem of that individual Jew. You know who's involved in that act? It's something that has to concern Kol Beis Yisrael. A Sone Yisrael, any place in the world, is a Sone, is one who hates all of Israel. It's not that person's his issue. It's my issue. It's your issue. It's everyone's. We all have to be involved in the problem of the individual who's called upon to sanctify God's name. It means, of course, that we have to be able to do whatever we can in order to save Jews from that kind of coercion. It becomes our responsibility. It's not something that we can say, well, that's there, another place and another time, has nothing to do with me. Anything that involves Kiddush Hashem is a mitzvah that falls on Kol Beit Yisrael, wherever they may be. They have to act on behalf of any community that finds itself in this kind of danger. To be continued. I'm not a coward. I'm not a coward. I'm not going to be here next week. And I feel very badly about that. Not so bad, but I feel badly about that. You have a great replacement. Rabbi Neil Winkler is going to say the shiur next week. He's very, very good. He's very good. And I have to be away. I'm going to have to prepare myself for the big dinner, you know, to be able to suffer all of the honor that will be. We don't take ourselves seriously. We don't take ourselves seriously. Okay.